We're having our class on the Jewish home tonight, and tonight our subject is honey. Honey. There are two ways you can catch bees. You can take a net and try catching them, and they'll run away, and they'll sting you. Then there's another way you could catch bees. You could lay out some honey, and the bees will come to eat the honey. In life, if you want to succeed, and in marriage especially, if you want to succeed, you got to remember one rule, and it's called honey. Okay? If you can remember that rule, then you can make most of your dreams come true in marriage. Honey. And it's a key rule. So, before we proceed, let's take an example. Sometimes, parents find themselves yelling at kids. Kids are annoying. Kids are making a mess. The kids aren't listening to you. You're asking them to clean up their room, and instead they're messing up the living room. You're asking them to wash up for dinner, and instead they're getting the whole house dirty. When they finally go to the sink, they decide to have a water fight. So what do you do? If you're a normal parent, you yell. And what happens if it's a normal house? The kids don't listen. So in a normal environment, this is part of what happens in the day-to-day. Parents get upset. The children see what they can get away with. The parents get more upset. The children try to get away with a little bit more. And eventually, dinner comes around, and finally the kids go to sleep. And you sit there, and you're breathless, and you're wondering, what are you doing wrong? What should you be doing different as a parent? Sometimes we tell parents, take 1 hour where you don't yell, and you don't use any threat, and you don't punish, and you only talk positive. Take 1 hour. And during that hour, just be positive. So suddenly during that hour, even if you didn't tell your kids, it's as though on cue, Chaim pulls Shira's hair. So Shira grabs Chaim's hair. So Chaim puts his fingers into her glasses. And Shira is yelling and trying to pour the orange juice down his shirt. Now you as a parent are not supposed to yell this hour, right? What do you do? No yelling. So you say next hour. Leave me alone. Right? I didn't mean for this type of hour to take place. But if you're a real man or a woman or a parent, then you're going to stand up to the task. And you're going to discover that there are other ways to deal. You don't have to deal with threats. You don't have to deal with punishments. You don't have to deal with yelling. There are other ways to educate children. There are other ways to get them to do what they should be doing. And suddenly that hour becomes educational. Because if you're man enough to stand up to that hour, then you will learn new tools. Necessity is the mother of invention. And it's key. So this is true in education. This is also true in marriage. And let's take an example. You've been married. It's been amazing. All this wonderful time together. And now you're celebrating the anniversary. You've been married a total of a month. Okay. Or a year. Or 5 years. Or 20 years. Whatever it is. You want to celebrate. So you set up a day, you know, your engagement, right? The day you got married, that's the anniversary. So you set up the day. And you get up that morning, only to discover that your wife, who promised you that she would prepare you lunch, forgot to prepare you lunch that day. So if it was an ordinary day, you'd do this. Hopefully not. But at least you say, honey, weren't you supposed to prepare lunch? And she looks at you and says, you woke me up for that. And you go, well, I have to run. If I'm dealing with the kids and I'm running, you want me to go and spend 25 shekel buying lunch somewhere else? We said we're trying to keep our budget under wraps. She's annoyed, you're annoyed. Hopefully you're a better mensch than that. And you take a few slices of bread and some cheese and you don't wake up your wife for it. But whatever. But what happens if it's the morning that you know you're supposed to be celebrating that night? So you're not going to say anything. Suddenly today I want things to be good between us. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say, okay, I guess she was so zonked last night she didn't get a chance to do the lunch we agreed on. What happens when all kinds of little things creep up on you? If it's her birthday, if it's your anniversary, if it's a day you want that this day should be special, you're not going to make a big deal out of it. So what does that teach us? that it all depends on how much I want things to be good between us. If that's my priority, then things will be good between us. And it's not a question of whether she's right or wrong. We fool ourselves. We say, she isn't fair. We say, I'm entitled. We say things like, I don't have to put up with this. We say all these wonderful lines that are lies. Let me tell you a rule. And if you could remember this rule, it'll be a huge blessing in your life. There's a rule in marriage. Whoever criticizes is wrong. Wait, how could that be? If you criticize, and obviously she's wrong. Nope. The one who criticizes, the one who says a negative comment, is always in the wrong. Come on, how could I say such a thing? How could the one who criticizes always be in the wrong? So let's make a hierarchy. What's important to me? What's less important to me? What's more important to me? And I want to ask you a question. If your wife said to you the following line, you're important to me, but it is more important to me that when you walk into this house, after I wash the floor, you do not get the floor wet. You understand that? What would you say? You're crazy. I thought I was important. The wet floor is more important than me. That's crazy, right? And what happens if she came back and said to you, so let me understand this. You cherish me. I'm important. You love me. Everything's great. But it's more important to you to have your lunch than you're caring for me. Because obviously, you're coming and waking me up so that you should have your lunch. So what's more important? Your lunch or me? And don't kid yourself. Every conversation revolves around how important our relationship is. We like to think it doesn't, but it does. A woman is always walking around with the annoying question, does he love me, doesn't he love me, does he or doesn't he? So you'll say, but I told her I love her. Right. So what? You have to say it again. But I told her 5 times. Right, but that was an hour ago. She forgot. Doesn't work that way. You never said it enough times. She's never convinced. Hashem created us that we remain with this insecurity throughout married life till we die. All of us, men and women. We always need chizuk. We always need to be reaffirm our commitment to one another. So we just have to ask one question. What should be at the top of our ladder? So you'll say to be an Eved Hashem, fine. And what's next? Tariag Mitzvos. I understand my number one priority is to do the will of Hashem. What's my number two priority? My number two priority is my relationship with my wife. My number two priority has to be to make her happy, to build a good relationship. Well, anytime I choose to criticize her, what I'm saying is that became more important than our relationship. And that's why I say, anyone who criticizes is in the wrong. Because tell me what's more important than your relationship. And you'll say, wait a second, why do I always have to put everything on the line? Why is everything about our relationship? And the answer is that's the way it works. But that's the way we work too. If you went and did a shop, and you come home, and your wife says, no one likes that. Why'd you buy 3% milk? You want me to be more fat? What are you going to say? Honey, I worked so hard. After my whole day, I went and did the shop. That's all you can say? And you will be offended. Why are you offended? Because anytime someone criticizes, the underlying message is our relationship is less important than this criticism. It's more important to me to criticize you over this than our relationship. And we deny that fact. We deny that emotion. We say, I love you and you're important and everything's great, but you should also know that it's not fair. You should also know that I don't agree with what you did. Why? So you'll say, wait a second, so I'm never supposed to say anything, and we go back to the first line we began with tonight. The rule is, honey. The rule is, you can accomplish through sweetness. There is no need to criticize. There is no need to say harsh things. The only reason we say harsh things is because we're weak. It's easier for me to just say what I feel, instead of taking the time to think, how can I build the positive? How can I get to the same place with talking positive? And the answer is, it requires work, it requires thought, but you can get there, and you'll both be happy. But it's much easier to just say, I'm annoyed, that's not fair, you're not right. All kinds of wonderful lines. It has nothing to do with reality, it has to do with the easy way out. Anytime we allow ourselves to get angry, I have a line that really ticks people off. It's the truth. But it really ticks people off. When people ask me, why are you upset? My answer is, because I didn't work on myself enough. So people get annoyed at that, right? No. What did I do? Why are you upsetting me? The real reason I'm upset is because I'm not a good enough person. Oh, I'm not saying what the other person did is right. It could be what the other person did was wrong. But that's not really why I'm upset. If I were a better person, I wouldn't be upset. Someone came to me today and said a really nasty line in public. And it wasn't fun. But I didn't take it personally. So the guy finishes his line. And I said, you know, I think you have to do tshuva for what you just said. I walked away. I didn't yell at him. Because I wasn't... I was upset in the sense that it was really not nice. It was not nice of the person to do it. But it wasn't personal. You know, he made a fool of himself. He said things that were just not true. So I said, you know, why don't you think about what you just said? A stranger, not, you know, not someone from the family, not a... So I said, think about it, because what you said isn't true, and I think you have to do tshuva for what you just said. Okay, so the guy ran after me, started explaining to me why he thought he was right, and I explained to him why I thought he was wrong. But it's easier when it's a stranger who you really don't care so much about. So then it's easier to just say, you know, why don't you think about it? Maybe that's not the right way to talk. When it's within our family, then it's much easier to come out and just say what I feel. You're not right. You're not fair. You have no right to say that. Wait a second. Why are we reacting that way? It's our weakness. So we have to begin with the rule, honey. Honey. If my goal, if my number two priority is, if my top priority in the house is my partner's happiness, my partner's well-being, then why would I say something nasty? Ah, because I'm upset? Who says that legitimizes saying something nasty? Ah, but it's much easier. But she deserves it. What does that have to do with it? If it was her birthday, if you wanted things to be positive between you, if that was really what was important, would you say it that way? So this is a very important rule. It can really encompass most of married life. Most of what we do really stems from our weakness. When we have fights, it's usually because we're too weak to be nice about it. So we express what we feel right away. Boom, off the bat. And the truth is that most people really want to make their partner happy. Your wife is not intentionally driving you crazy. Sometimes you can have a hard time believing it, but she really wants to make you happy. And the truth is that most people spend their life not so certain what the other side really wants. If you would take the average couple and ask them, can you explain to me what would make your spouse happy? Can you give me a list of 5 things that will make your spouse happy? Most people wouldn't get it right. Isn't that a sad point? Ask the average woman, what are the 5 things that will make you happy? Ask the average man, what are the 5 things that will make your wife happy? Ask the average man, what are the 5 things that will make you happy? Ask the average woman, what are the 5 things that will make him happy? You know that they will not get the top 2 right? They won't. I'll give you a small example. Your wife would love it if you sat down and spoke about nothing. Stroke her hand and sit there and just schmooze about nothing. So you look at that and you say, huh? Why would I want to do that? No, that's what she wants. She wants you to sit down and take the stroll around memory lane and have a conversation that's not about anything specific. See, for a guy, if we spend time talking about the dining room set we're going to buy, or which school we're going to send the child to, or whatever we talk about, we just had time together. And for the girl, that's not time together. We were doing things, we didn't have time together. So what's time together? Let's buy a popsicle stick and let's sit down on a park bench without any agenda and just spend time together. And so the guy sits there doing this. Right? He's like biting his lip. What am I supposed to be doing now? And what's worse is when the guy shows up and says, we're going to have quality time together. Right? So now it's like completely unnatural, but he went to this class and he knows that in order to make her happy, he better sit there and partake of a conversation about nothing of great importance. And he's sitting there trying to be patient and everything about his body language yells, let me out of here. This isn't for me. Ah, But did you know that on the top five things that'll make your wife happy is that type of conversation? If you would take 20 minutes of your day to describe details of what happened in your day, it would make her happy. Imagine describing lunch today in detail. So I stood in line and I smelt the food and I was wondering if it was delicious or not. And the people in front of me seemed to be excited over the food, but I really didn't grow up with shakshuka. So I looked at it and I was wondering, now, can you really have a 20-minute conversation about this? But she'd enjoy a 20-minute conversation about it. Women enjoy conversations about details. Women enjoy conversations about things that are not necessarily so important. And if you can take the time to share with your wife details of what happened in your day, it'll make her happy. But do people ever take the time to discover what are the top five things that'll make my spouse happy? Most people don't know. And most people can tell you what she will write are the five things that will make me happy. Meaning, if the husband had to write, what does she think will make you happy? You could say what her mistakes are. And if she had to write what you think would make her happy, she also knows what to write, what your mistakes are. But can you put them together and figure out what really makes one another happy? It sounds like it's simple. It should be simple. People don't take the time to discover. And if we can apply this rule, then it also diffuses arguments. Every argument has two levels. There's the level we're talking about, and then there's the underlying level. So the level we're talking about is, we agreed. Let's take a classical example of what couples are arguing about. What do we want to discuss?
Take the trash out.
Take the trash out. Okay. We agreed you would take the trash out.
Couples discuss more money.
What?
More money people discuss.
I was going to say that too, but okay, we'll talk about the trash.
Dude, money.
No, but that's more scary.
It's more time.
There are usually three major peeves that couples have, and one of them is not the trash. The three major peeves that couples have are in-laws, money, and intimacy. Those are three areas of major frustration. Those are the top three. They cover 95% of what couples fight about. Okay, parents, in-laws, family, money, and intimacy. So, if, let's say, we'll take the example of money. You went and bought a laptop without thinking twice. And when I bought cream cheese for Shabbos, you thought that I overspent the budget. Explain this to me. You went and bought the laptop and you didn't think we should talk about it. And I went and bought cream cheese and you said, why did you spend that money for Shabbos? Why is that fair? Now guys, this is classical. The guy classically will spend a huge, to the point of buying a car without talking to her. And yet when she, on a small item, you know, she'll go to a shekel store and buy 20 items and come home and he'll look at it and go like, why do we need those 20 things? So over 20 shekel, he makes a big deal. And if you can't yet imagine yourself there, believe me, you'll find yourself there. And yet, when it comes to big ticket items, he doesn't feel a need to discuss it with her. He could buy a watch. He could buy things for 150 shekel. And I need a new watch. You want me to discuss buying a watch with you? And she looks at you and says, but you thought you have a right to comment on the five things I bought at the shekel store. Now, what are they arguing about? They're really, every argument is really about, do you love me? Every argument, what you see on the surface is far less important than the question, do you love me? So when she says, why did you have an issue with the five things I bought at the shekel store? What she's saying is, when you had an issue with it, you were telling me you don't love me. And when she says, you went and bought that laptop without talking to me, her point was, if you love me, you talk to me. How come you didn't talk to me? Did I say no? I just don't understand how you did it without talking to me. And the guy goes ballistic because the guy doesn't see what's really going on. What's really going on is one question, do you love me? Now there's a game I have couples play, and every couple that played this game attested that it propelled their marriage tremendously. Guys are walking around and guys have an ego problem. Guys always want to hear you're great. And whatever a guy does, he wants to hear appreciation. And girls are walking around, and they always want to hear that you love them. So I tell couples, let's play a game. For the next week, every sentence you say to one another, you, the girl, have to start with the sentence, "You're amazing." You don't have to say "you're amazing." You could say it in a different way. "You're extraordinary. You're the best husband in the world." You could say any compliment you want that says he's great. And you could say it laughing. And you could say it knowing it's a game. And you, the guy, every sentence you say to your wife has to begin with "I love you." You could say "I love you," "I cherish you." It could be any form you want, but it has to be that theme. Now, you both know it's a game. But every sentence you say begins with that. And suddenly, after a week, their marriage is in a different place. But it was a game, right? But we all need to hear it. When was the last time someone told you you're great? We all need to hear it. How many of us have had someone tell us in the last day that we are amazing? Last week? The last month? Well, guys need that. Guys need to hear it numerous times a day. And if you hear it from your wife, you'll be a happy husband. But you know what? She needs to hear you love her. She needs to hear that she's the best wife in the world. She needs to hear that you, the best moment was the moment you married her. It was the best decision you ever made. And she doesn't need to hear it once. She needs to hear it multiple times a day. What did we start our class with today? Honey. The way to move a marriage forward is with sweetness and honey. The way to destroy a marriage is with criticism. If my number one priority is her happiness, so then I will not criticize her because I will recognize that I'm hurting her. If I realize that every fight has an underlying theme, under the fight is really the question, do you love me? Well, obviously you don't. Then I can address that. And if I know that she needs to hear it in many different ways, then I also know I have to say it in many different ways. And it's up to us to find the smart ways to say it. So that's our topic for tonight. Honey, the importance of doing things sweetly. And you could get everywhere with sweetness. It's far easier to criticize. If you can find the times that it's positive and compliment them, you're strengthening that. Everyone wants to feel like you're happy with me. If I know that's what makes you happy, then that's what I want to do. But the question is, can we give that feeling? What usually happens, you've been begging your wife that when she makes chulen, she should add meat to the chulen. She grew up on vegetarian chulen. Comes the Shabbos that she puts meat in the chulen. What do? You know, this is nice. This is like my mother's chulen. And then you go on and forget about it. Now, if you really want her to make that type of chulen, what should you do? You go on and on. And you don't tell her it's like your mother's chulen. You just tell her, this is amazing. I can't believe this. This is the best chulen I've ever eaten. You go on and on. Believe me, she'll want to do it again next week. But what does the average guy do? He sticks in that line. He sticks in that little needle and he says, I don't know why you don't do this every week. Boom. You just hurt her, right? Instead of keeping sweet and honey, you just stuck in a little bit of this is exactly what I've been begging you for. In other words, you stuck in a little bit of twinge of pain. Why? We have to work with honey. Honey, honey, honey. Sweetness. And sweetness will bring us to where we want to go. And you could get everywhere, by the way. Everywhere. I have a friend who married a girl who had black hair. And he wanted her to wear a blonde wig. And she said, I can't wear a blonde wig. I have black hair. He said, fine. Every time they went to choose a wig, he would tell her she looks great in a gray. He would say, you look great, one shade lighter. Within 5 years, she was blonde. Okay? Within 5 years, but she didn't notice it. He'd shift a shade every, you know. He got where he wanted. True story. Sweetness. Sweetness. If you work through sweetness, if you work through telling her she's great, showing appreciation, we all want our spouse to say we're great. We can get everywhere. It involves a little bit of thought. It involves self-restraint. It involves thinking how I want to say something, when I want to say something, do I want to say something? Right. That's how you build a good marriage. It's not easy, but that's how. So